Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work. It's Donzel Lewis, everybody. Hooray!
Hey!
Donzel, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on The Work.
Yes, thank you for having me on The Work.
So let's begin, as I always do on these podcasts, with how you and I first intersected, if you recall how Self-Management for Actors came into your life.
Yes, I do recall how Self-Management for Actors came into my life and saved my life. So I actually had heard of Self-Management for Actors through my good friend Quincy Cho, who was also a guest on The Work a while back. And her and I had done a show together. We did a live play together. And that's where we met. And we just really clicked once we did the show and stayed friends since then. And I remember watching her throughout the process of the play. I was like, she's a really amazing artist and a really amazing human being. And so I was glad that we got to foster a relationship and a friendship with each other. And I think that once you're, you know, when you're doing any type of business, when you always recognize really talented people, and it's always an honor if the talented people become friends with you. So I was so happy. I was like, yay, we're friends. And so we started to hang out outside of the play, and we would get drinks and dinner and different things. And I remember watching her career at that time and saying, wow, I love where her career is going. And every time I would ask her, well, how did you do this? Or what made you think of that? She would say, oh, Bonnie Gillespie and Self-Management for Actors. And I was like, what is this whole thing that she keeps talking about? And I had done or had been doing a business for actors course, so to speak, that was nowhere near on the level of Self-Management for Actors, nowhere near it. And typical story of, I came out of a great theater school, really knew how to act, and that's all I knew. Side, the business side, anything analytical, had to do with business, had to do with marketing, had to do with branding, don't ask me that. Just give me the script and let's go.
Because the focus is on the craft.
The focus is on the craft. But this is not a craft town.
No.
We know that. So I was following some other, you know, coaches, and just it was so their approach was so blanketed, and it was this template of one size fits all, and it just wasn't getting me the results that I wanted. And seeing Quincy get the results that I wanted, of course, made me say, well, what's this? And what is that? And what's this SMFA thing? And she never really kind of like pushed it on me or anything. Was like, yeah, she always like, no, I did this because of Self-Management for Actors. And I remember, and I want to say May of last year, she told me that you were having one of your one-day retreats. And it was over at Drake's in Hollywood. And she was like, well, if you're really interested, Bonnie's doing a one-day retreat. Go home and sign up. And I literally did exactly that. I didn't read up on you. I didn't follow a blog post. I didn't see a tweet. I did not care. I just knew that Quincy was getting the results that I dreamed of getting.
Now, Donzel, so I'm going to say I don't recommend that. I hope that people check out at least the book or a tweet or an article or a podcast before they plunk down some money.
I think that's what most people do, and I think that's what I normally do as well. But I mean, I was at that point. It was just Quincy's recommendation was all the proof I needed. You know, I knew her, and I knew her work ethic, and I knew the results that she was getting. So that was what I needed. It was one of those word of mouth personal testimonies where it's, I can do all the reading I want, but unless I have a personal experience, it doesn't bring it home for me. And so I did. I went home that night after we had drinks, and this had been a few months of her already mentioning SMFA. So we've been talking about SMFA randomly for months. And I said, okay, I'm just going to do it. I went home. I signed up that night, and then took your one-day retreat, and literally the floodgates were blown open at that point.
Donzel, this is what I want to kind of I want to touch on, because this blows me away. I've now worked with you pretty much ongoing. You know, we've had almost nonstop work over the past year plus. I was going to say you're a different Donzel than the Donzel I met at the SMFA retreat in May of 2015, but I don't think you're different. I think you own yourself differently. Yes. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I do. I think I agree with you 100%. It has been a year of me working with you and a complete 360 in my career, my life, just my whole existence, a complete 360. Because, again, coming out of school, you focus on craft, craft, craft. But also I came out of a very strict program where it was, this is what the industry wants, and you are not what the industry wants because we haven't seen you before. Mm. So here's the square, and we need you to fit in it, even though you're a triangle. And year after year in this department of you need to, you know, take dialects class, voice lessons, you need to change this, change that. Everything was about changing.
Ooh.
Nothing was about embracing. Everything was, this is the mode, the module, this is what you need to do. And if you get this, then you're going to be successful. You're going to make it in this business. And of course, that's just not me. I am the triangle. I'm trying to fit into the square. I really am. And so when I came out here, I felt like I had a half sense of who I was because I did have one professor who really pushed for me to be empowered to be who I was. And she was like, you know, just ignore that. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what your heart is called to do. And so when I came out here, I had a sense of, okay, I do need to be myself. Because her whole thing was, if you're not honest with yourself, how can you be honest in the work that you're going to do?
So I was like, I had this half sense.
It's 101. And so I felt like I was a 50-50, like 50% me, 50%. I still had this image of that fear of hearing that after 4 years of, oh, can I really be myself? Because this is Hollywood and this is not what you see on TV. So I kind of went back into that and I came into LA and I went back into, okay, new market, new city. I can redefine who I am and people who don't know me can get to know me as this person. So I started to put on again another facade of these are what headshots should look like. This is what I should sound like when I walk in the room. This is who I should be to present myself to them for them to say, okay, he is the type of actor that we want. And when I got that MFA, you called me out on that in a heartbeat.
I was like, was it within the first half hour of class?
It was within the first half hour. My favorite moment was, because in SMFA, and I don't want to give, of course, I can't give away the whole process just because I can't even describe the whole process because you have to experience it. But one of the things with the retreat is you have to send in your website, social media, different things like that. And I did not know why. And I just sent in all my stuff to you. And I remember my thing that I'll never forget is you looked at my headshot, which I thought was a great headshot. It was a nice, safe plaid shirt, smile. It was safe, like, oh, this is the nice, smiling black kid who can be in anything, I thought. And I remember you looking at that headshot and you said, who is this? And I said, oh, that's my straight headshot, my headshot that people are going to look at and they're going to see and say, oh, bring him in. And you were like, but this is not who we're calling in. And you said, on your social media, in your smiles, there's a little twinkle that you have and a little twist with your eyebrow. And I was like, I see none of that in this picture. And all over your social media, that's who I fell in love with before you even walked in this door. And that was the thing that was the spark of, oh, that's one of the reasons why you asked for my social media? So you can see the real me, not the me I want to present to the world. And hearing you say, because we hadn't met, we hadn't even spoken on the phone. We knew nothing of each other. And hearing you say, when I looked at your social media, I fell in love with this person. This is the person I was expecting who was going to walk into this retreat. and you walk into this retreat and you bring me this headshot of someone who's totally different. She's like, I don't know this person. You're like, I don't know them. I'm not in love with them. And that was the moment that said, okay, I need to be true to who I am. I need to relax and just be me, as they say, literally.
And do you find that there's something exhausting about the facade? Because you were talking about that a little bit, about coming out of school and having like the craft. And I mean, we know you can play any of it, but as far as the day to day and presenting who you are and submitting yourself and kind of being on the hustle, is there something a little more relaxed about getting to just be you and have that twinkle and have that extra special you-ness, because that's just a part of who you are?
It's a huge relief, because when I'm focusing, or when I was focusing on the facade, I was focusing more on the product and the result. And instead of really dropping in and really connecting and becoming grounded with the character, I'm more of, oh, am I sounding the way that I think they think that I should sound? Am I standing or sitting in this character's body position the way I think that they think that this character should stand or sit? So there was a wall, and it's exhausting. And you go from audition to audition to process, focusing more on what's in these people's heads as opposed to just telling the story.
Oh, and I love that you said it exactly like that, Donzel, because I think that that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is taking up so much of their creative space. Mm-hmm. And I think especially young folks, as they're coming out of school and they're, you know, saying, well, I can be all these things, so let me figure out what it is they want me to be. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I gave you permission to go with your gut, but I believe that all I did in what I said to you was say, like, I see you. Mm-hmm. And so go be seen. Yeah. Is there something we can say to people early on in their journey that may help them not go through exhausting years of trying to, you know, figure out what it is they're thinking and try to be what they want?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think that we have to all just continue to remember to embrace who we are, and just embrace that the truth is that when I walk into the room, there are going to be people who are going to be turned off by my existence. But the opposite truth of that is, when I walk into another room, there are going to be people who are turned on by it. And you have to realize that you cannot be everything for everyone. And it's a cliche as it sounds. It's I'm not the first, nor will I be the last different sounding person. I won't be the first or last triangle trying to fit into the square. It's just, you gotta keep doing the work and know that the people who are meant to work with you will find you, and you will find them, and just stay the course.
Totally true. Mm-hmm. You mentioned different sounding, excuse me, and I want to talk about that specifically, because I find your voice to be one of the most compelling factors about your castability. I think the way that you, and when you did the Cricket Feet showcase, the feedback we got, there were so many people who were excited about your sound. What is it about places that you were trying to turn that down or change the shape of your voice, that, I mean, first of all, exhausting, that instead you can go, let me lean into who it is that I am. Yeah.
I had to change my perspective. One of the things that was great for me in life was actually coming to LA. Because I am from a very smaller city in the South, and very traditional, very old values, old ways. This idea of innovation and newness, when I was there, not really the way. Let's keep doing what's been done. Yeah. Now, when it came to LA, what I thought was the terrible thing, because it's what I was used to hearing growing up, unfortunately, was, you know, put more bass in your voice or make it more masculine or do this or do that. That's what I grew up hearing. And I mean, we're talking since I could speak. I have been in literal speech lessons. Since I was in elementary school, I have had a voice and speech teacher for various reasons.
I covet your voice. I honestly
did not hear that until I came to LA. And I came to LA, and because this is such a big city with so many different walks of life, of all different colors and personalities, that's when I realized, oh, I'm adding more color to the world. And in a city and in an area where people recognize that more colors are a beautiful thing, they want to paint with those colors. And I will always, no matter where my journey takes me, I will always be thankful for coming here specifically because this city gave me that. Tons of people said, whoa, I love your voice. They would stop me and say, oh my gosh, what is that sound? And these are just things that I never heard. Or it was the vice of that. It was when I was growing up, it was like, oh, what was that sound? And it wasn't like, that's so different and that's so unique and that's so fun. And so once I started to change my thought and started to change and realize that I am enough, I'm just as valuable as everyone else, and that my voice helps to tell the story in a very specific way, that I started to lean into it. And after leaning into it, that's where the beauty started to lie, because then I started to give myself that permission to be me, to be able to go in and create these characters and not worry and just play and just have fun. Just get out there and just have fun.
So Donzel, let's talk about that. What are some of the characters that you do create? What is some of the fun that you have? This is where you self-promote. Tell me what sort of stories you were put on this planet to tell and how people listening can keep track of you and what you've got going on.
Oh gosh, that's a big question. You know, I am at a point in my career right now where I am really curious to explore the expansion of complex LGBT characters of color. Mm-hmm. Very complex, multidimensional characters that live in their existence as them. Their LGBT status is not what defines them. It's what helps to reveal them. So I'm very interested, and I have been very fortunate to continue telling those stories and to get into a lot of comedy. I came from a very strict school, and everything is about drama. I'm like, all right, here comes my Viola Davis moment. Then I realized I am not Viola Davis, and I am not about to be doing those dramas.
Sorry, sweetie.
It's not happening. But if Shonda Rhimes wants to call me, she can.
Yeah, sure.
But so a lot of comedies and a lot of just enjoying the fun and that. And so I've been getting into a lot of improv recently. I've been getting into writing my first short film. And so just having those characters of color out there that are LGBT colors, such as Jesse Smollett on Empire, or the character in Unreal, who is the producer in that show, and Titus Burgess on Unbreakable Kimmy. And it's like, I want to add to that army of us out there on these TV shows that are these just pivotal characters there for both story as well as for helping to carry and drive the arc of the show.
And I freaking love that you're owning that this is something you want to be a part of movement-wise, mm-hmm. because I know that when you filled out that questionnaire for taking the first SMFA retreat, these were not the types of goals and things you were talking about. And I am so honored to get to see the shift in you owning what it is that you're actually a true artist in bringing to life, and watching that response from the industry come so quickly. It's been really exciting to see how much has unfolded for you in such a short period of time. Well, where can people proud little mama.
Yeah, I will say that like one of my favorite books that I read last year was Misty Copeland's biography. Oh, I love me some Misty Copeland. But several times throughout the book, she starts with the book and reiterates, this is for the little brown girls. And she recognizes that she does ballet for her, of course, and that it's her calling. But she realized early on in her career that what she was doing was bigger than her. And it was for the little brown girls that are coming after her to expand the ballet world and the color of the ballet world. And a lot of times we can get selfish as artists. And I know I was, where it's like, well, this is for me. Then these stories are what I want to do. And it's not about that. It's about inspiring other people. And it's about really being honest and expanding and showing the world the many different stories that we all have to tell. And so what I do is not just for me anymore. It is for the other actors and humans of the LGBT colored experience, that our stories aren't really there yet. Our stories are a small fraction still. And so what I do is for them and for me.
So I remember the day you sat in a mastermind with me and said, if the story is one I wish I had heard as a kid, it's my job to tell that story now, because it didn't exist when I was a kid. And that means I need to make it exist. Is that part of the Misty Copeland factor? And
it
then,
is.
So what is it that is your story? What is it that you're going to tell? And are you excited that you're at the beginning of what is, I mean, I'm sorry, a full on fucking movement, and what an exciting time to be alive.
It is an exciting time, as they say in Hamilton, what a time to be alive. you know, it is definitely that, because I was resentful. I was really angry. And I was, where are my stories? Where are my heroes? Why have no one, why is it not being told? When I was in college, where was my mentors and professors who were both men of color as well as men of color from the LGBT spectrum? Like, they weren't there in college. I didn't have anyone there. And of course I'm not, like, there's artists out there, and
of course,
you know, and so let me make sure I state that there's filmmakers and there's movies and books and plays that I did read growing up, but I didn't appreciate that they had started something that I was supposed to join in on and helping to grow. I felt like I should have it now. Someone should be here now. These stories should be here now. But where's the fun in all that? Like you said, I'm at the beginning of this movement. So where's the fun in coming at the end of the movement?
Because at the end of the movement, it's like, oh, that was in fashion. So of course it was easy for me to like wear those boots.
Yeah, to wear those boots. So now it's like, okay, I want to help to move this story along and move our narratives along and really see it grow and be on the ground floor of it. Because I will say that I'm definitely thankful to be a part of Hollywood now, as opposed to being a part of Hollywood 5 years ago or six
Amen.
Or seven or 10, because Hollywood now, in regards to their diversity, especially their true diversity of all types of diversity in the spectrum, is a lot more open now. So I don't even know if I could have done what I'm doing now in 1994 or 1997, there's no way.
Well, no, the best you would have got is maybe you could have been the guy that dates Will on Will and Grace. And
exactly.
Like, yawn. I mean,
mm-hmm. That would have been the best. It would have been the best.
It would have been the best because it would have been groundbreaking that they brought in a black guy to date.
Exactly.
Him. Like, so it's not just the gay of it.
And I think that one black guy on that show was Taye Diggs. I think.
And bless his beautiful bones.
I remember it being like a big deal. It's like there's a black gay character on Will and Grace, and
you'd be like, "Woo!" Yeah,
yeah.
So So can you fathom a version of this industry in which it's no fucking big deal to be Black, to be gay, to be in this part of the storytelling spectrum? I mean, do you think we're going to move that far that fast, where it's just, it's not a thing?
Do I believe that we're there now, or can we get there?
No, is that the question? We're headed there in our lifetime as creatives.
I think we're definitely headed there as creatives, because we've been empowered again as creatives with the new media movement, with social media content, with micro content that's happening. The beautiful thing about the internet is that it's allowing us to reach out to our various communities that are spread out throughout the world. And so we're definitely closer now and headed there closer now than we've ever been before. Because if you really don't see your story, you literally can get your story up onto social media within a week, if you're even that aggressive, you know, a week, a month, 2 months, you can get your story up there, and people will find it, and people will find you, and it will just continue to grow. I mean, that's the beautiful thing with Issa Rae and Awkward Black Girl, and how she started, and saying, I don't see this Black woman, this Black Liz Lemon, this Tina Fey character, I don't see her, so I'm going to create her. And then look where she is now, 2 years later, you know. So if we don't get there, myself included, it's only because we don't do as the name of your podcast. It's because we don't do the work. There's no more excuses. And trust me, I love my excuses. So if I could take an excuse and say it's someone else's fault, trust me, I will. But
you're like, tag, you're it.
But that's the beautiful thing about SMFA, is that it's so personal, and it's to the person, that it really breaks that myth of someone else has to empower you. SMFA is all about empowering yourself and working from the inside out, and really working smarter, not harder, to get where you want to be. So once I embrace that about SMFA, it's like, oh yeah, there's no excuses. I just have to literally do the work.
Unfortunately, I would say unfortunately, but I think it's amazingly fortunate that all we have to do is the work.
We
don't have to create a revolution. We just have to show up.
Yes.
And showing up, honestly, is the revolution.
Yes.
Because so many people will choose the, you know, the lazy actor, the slacker version instead. What do you do to stay balanced in your life, in your work, in your creative pursuit? Because I know that it's not just, you know, the craft, the business. You also have to maintain a personal life and pay the bills. And like, what is your day to day like, for those who are listening who would love some tips on just how to stay centered and focused on all of it and enjoying the ride?
That's a great question. You have to definitely live as full of a human experience as possible. As many people have said before, some of the things that I do is, one of the things I'm very dedicated to doing is, I'm very dedicated to 3 books a month. And we're talking, I will do an autobiography. So, because I love the work of ancestors. So I love hearing what has been done before you. And also, when you read an autobiography, you're like, this is so hard, and I'm going through this. And then you read 3 autobiographies, and they're like, honey, we went through this well before you did. Chill out.
It's nothing.
This is nothing new.
It's like, my Wi-Fi is too slow. Really?
Exactly. So my autobiographies, I really do feel like they keep me grounded, because so much of it's been done before. Your ancestors fought before you to get to what you're complaining about. Like, they couldn't even complain about what I'm complaining about at what they did it 20, 30, 40 years ago. So I love autobiographies. I do I also do like a self-help book, whether that be on finances or physical fitness or positive thinking, just something that well rounds me in that department. And then I always have a fiction, and I have, or just a, even not a fiction, just a really good story, just because we're artists. And again, going back to my teacher from college, she always said, if you are an actor and you're not reading literature, then you are not an artist. So it's like, you cannot get up here and say you want to perform stories, but not digest stories. So I always just have a good story going through me that I'm reading. So that's one thing I do. Another one is I'm a big fitness man, guy, whatever. So I grew up as a martial artist. Maven. Like, what's the word here? I grew up as a martial artist. I've been doing martial arts for over 18 years. And I still do martial arts. So it's still, it's that dancers will understand this. And, you know, it's that place that you go that when you've done it so much, when all things are crazy, when the world is crazy, dancers say they can always go back to the bar, or they can go to the studio and they can ground themselves. And that's me with martial arts. I've been doing it since I was a kid. So when everything is crazy, that is certainly the one thing that I know I can go back on those mats and I can train and I can literally let everything go. And I can just live in this world of kicking and punching for an hour, 2 hours, or however long I decide to stay there. So I do that. And I just make sure I surround myself with good people and good friends. I'm such a Libra. So this could be a question that I can go on for hours because we're all about balance. Really, like I have my friend like Quincy who when it's time to go have fun, like she will say, okay, you want to go have fun, let's go out dancing or let's go grab a drink. And then I have my friend back home who Tiffany, she when things are crazy and I just need to talk or be told the truth, she will listen or she will read me and say, honey, this is what's really happening and you are being a diva, cut it out. So, you know, and I really value that. I really value having those friends there as sounding boards, then also as people who help to keep you grounded, help to keep you human. So I would suggest for the same, take care of yourself that way. Take care of your, our self is not just our career. It is our spirit. Yeah. It is our body. It is our mind. All of that has to be taken care of. And I may have picked that up from being a martial artist where you take care of the mind and the body. And that's a big thing for me is I have to do all of that to stay bounded, to stay grounded and to stay balanced.
Yeah. So Donzel, where can folks listening tap into you? Website, social media? Mm-hmm. Are you out and about performing on the regular where people could know the schedule? Tell everyone where it is that we can connect with you going forward.
So Twitter is just JUST _ Donzel, DONZELL. And my website is www.donzellewis.com. So they can go there. Twitter is going to be more accessible because it's faster. Instagram, I have one, but I'm a terrible photographer, so don't even expect updates on that. So let's not even go there. Twitter is going to be the best, and then my website from there. And I am doing classes at UCB. I just finished the 401 level, so I'm in advanced study now. I'm so excited. And just finished doing a sketch show there, which was really awesome, called Grinder Diary. I was really fortunate to be able to do that. We had a good run of, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 shows. Super fun, brilliant performers that I got to work with in the comedy community. So hopefully there'll be more stuff happening over there at UCB, but I don't know yet. Yeah.
Yes, to be continued. To be continued,
yeah.
Oh, love it. Donzel, you are inspiring in so many ways. And I knew this was going to be a great conversation, but I wasn't prepared for how many levels it was going to check boxes of just, yes, oh, that feels good there. Ooh, that feels good. Oh, and that's a thing there. True Libra, you are, in fact, balanced on so many different levels. And I think that one of the things that is most beautiful for me is to have gotten to see your transition from being out of balance in how you're presenting yourself to casting to going, yeah, fuck it. The ball's out. This is who I am. Yeah. And really owning that and then seeing the rewards for being truly you. And it's just been a beautiful thing to witness. And I'm so grateful to you for sharing it and for being so completely giving in telling people about what it is that you've experienced and how you've grown. And we're still at the fucking beginning. That's the crazy part. I mean, this is like, we're at minute five.
Yes.
of your hours and hours, if not years and years.
Yes, we are.
Of, like on that crazy 15 minutes of fame clock, right?
Yes.
I mean.
Thank you. I will say one of the things that I just thought about, one of the other things that's really helpful for me was you said to everyone should interview their resume. And this might be a detour, but it literally just popped in my head. And that was one of the reasons, that was also what helped me to embrace who I was more so. Because in my head, I'm saying, I am this type of an artist. I'm going to be doing this type of a work. And this is what's going to happen. I'm going to. But then I sat down and interviewed my resume and I said, oh, I did this, I did that. And that is what showed me where I was going. So when I looked at my resume and I saw these iconic characters, the few of them are really iconic because there's not that many of them, such as Belize from Angels in America or Miss Raj from the Color Museum. So I'm looking at my resume. And I'm like, oh, okay, every now and then there's a random thing that pops up. But for the most part, I'm playing the iconic, strong, black, gay character. I'm looking at my resume. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know this is what I said I'm going to do, but everyone's already been casting me in this. So I guess I better follow this trajectory. And so again, once I leaned into that after interviewing my resume, then things, doors started opening. Same thing with when I first started going into workshops and stuff, and I would get called in from casting directors, which we know is not always in every workshop, but if you workshop smartly, it does work. And we get called in, and I would be called in, and everything I got called in for was LGBT themed. And I was like, oh, okay. Well,
shocking.
The people who I want to hire me are hiring me.
How about that?
And they are hiring me for stuff that I was trying to cover up, that they were saying, well, before I accepted, they were like, yeah, don't cover that up because we need someone to play that part and we have the perfect part for you. So go do you and be the best at it.
Donzel Lewis, you are the best at being you. And thank you so much for sharing this time with us today.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.